everyone, and welcome to my blog, Narelle.com. For this blog post, I decided to do my very first podcast with Kelsey Johnson, the founder of Coconut Mutts.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, Riley.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're from, and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Kelsey Johnson, and I am a park ranger by trade. So I work for the National Park Service and have for the past 13 years. I grew up in Washington State, but with the Park Service, I moved around quite a bit throughout the Pacific Northwest and Southwest, and more recently to the South Pacific in American Samoa.
Awesome. So you have a nonprofit called Coconut Mutts. What is it exactly?
So Coconut Mutts is a nonprofit dedicated to improving animal welfare in American Samoa. And it was started by myself about a year ago. I was living in American Samoa in a temporary capacity for my job. And I noticed that there were a lot of stray animals and cats. And I was raised to take care of the animals that I would inherit, whether I moved into a new house or was driving down the road and an animal looked like it was lost on my street. And so I started to collect animals, basically, and take them to the clinic. And I met Dr. Kristen and started learning more about veterinary services or the lack thereof on island, and realized that I wanted to help them out however I could.
Awesome. Cool. So I understand there's a story about Coconut Mutts, like how it started. What is the story? How did you get started? And what's the vision of Coconut Mutts?
Sure. So, I mean, again, I never moved to American Samoa thinking that I would end up being passionate about animal welfare and starting a nonprofit business to help a veterinary clinic in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But I happened to go on a hike in the village of Vitia, and I found a kitten in the grass who had been abandoned. And she was completely emaciated. I could feel all the bones of her spine. She was really dehydrated. So I held her in the palm of my hand. And when I would release one of my hands while holding her by her shoulders, her legs would stay crumpled up because she was so dehydrated.
Right.
So the people I was with still wanted to go on the hike, and they were wondering what we should do with the kitten. And they suggested that I should just, you know, put her in the garbage can and she won't go anywhere. And we can always pick her up on the way back. And I thought that was kind of asinine since she weighed only a couple ounces. And so I carried her and she was fine with that. And she was so weak, she couldn't protest, basically. So took her home, and it was on a Friday, and the clinic is closed on the weekends. And so I did what I could and gave her food and water, and she seemed to perk up quite a bit and do really well throughout the weekend. And during those next couple days, like, completely fell in love with her. Aww. She was such a snuggle bug and had the most beautiful green eyes and just a pure sweetheart. And took her to the clinic on Monday, and she got all fixed up and dewormed and fluids. And that night when she was home, she started to get kind of lethargic and wasn't acting like herself.
Right.
And we called Dr. Kristen, and she thought maybe that the kitten was so weak and had some type of underlying condition. And my friend Jessie was visiting at the time, and we were pretty sure that she was going to have to be put down if we took her into the clinic. So we decided to see if we could continue to nurse her back to health, and if nothing else, she would spend the night being loved. And she fell asleep on Jessie's stomach that night, and then later on, I cuddled her on my stomach. And then in the morning, she woke me up because she was crying. And I, you know, woke Jess up and told her that the kitten wasn't doing really well. So we were rushing to get our, you know, clothes on and just get everything together so we could take her to the clinic. And I had Dr. Kristen on the phone, and Jessie was in the bathroom. And so I was sitting on the bed, and her name was Jojo. And I was holding Jojo in my hands, and she was taking kind of gasping breaths, and then all of a sudden she died.
In your hands?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. And so, like, completely broke my heart. And again, I'd only known the kitten for a couple days, but something just kind of clicked inside me when, you know, you hold, or so I think anything, or, you know, that would happen to anybody if they had cared for a kitten and then put so much love into it and seeing how innocent it was and realizing that it really shouldn't have died in the first place, that most of the things that were wrong with her could have been fixed and it would have been great if she wasn't abandoned in the first place. So that was really sad. So we, you know, buried her out on the front lawn and she has a nice view of the Pacific Ocean and we put flowers on top and, I think something changed after that. Like it became less of like, this is what I'm supposed to do as a member of the community to, I think this has something to do with something bigger, a bigger mission. But her story doesn't stop there, obviously, because she inspired a nonprofit. But even that day, you know, my friend and I were so heartbroken that I just wanted to go home and take a nap. And Jessie said that she wanted to go on a hike. And I'm like, well, that's probably the healthier option is to go on a hike. So we went back to the place where we found her. And as we were driving along, we see a dog coming down the road. And I slow the car down, and the dog is completely emaciated. He has pus running down the side of his face. And that dog ended up being one of the dogs that I took home with me. And
to so, Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Aww. And he now lives with me, so he's in his forever home with me.
Yay. So the name of Coconut Mutts, how did you come up with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, on the surface, it's kind of a cutesy little name, like, oh, my gosh, you know, tropical coconut trees with these dogs, you know, romping around or whatever, playing in the bushes and the flowers. But coconuts are everywhere in Samoa, and often animals are, you can find them under the shade of coconuts trying to get out of the heat of the sun or being pelted by monsoonal rains or anything like that. But also coconut trees, and the coconut itself is a symbol of life. Mm-hmm. In American Samoa. I mean, growing up in the Pacific Northwest, I mean, I grew up knowing that the Western Red Cedar was the tree of life in my neck of the woods. And so knowing that that tree is the tree of life here in Samoa, we thought it was appropriate to incorporate into an organization where, you know, we deal with life on a daily basis.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And then you said you started collecting pets. So how many pets do you currently have?
So I went from zero to three.
Over a span of?
Like a month.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, so.
Are they all coconut mutts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have a dog, and then the dog that I found on the day that Jojo died. And then I have two cats who came from the island as well, and they only weigh about 4.5 pounds each.
When you first got them or currently?
Currently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were really, really tiny when I first got them, and they've stayed tiny ever since then.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so I heard about your recent excursion to Manila with the vet clinic. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that was and how that happened?
Yeah, so there's only one veterinary clinic in American Samoa, and it's based on the main island of Tutuwila. So that means the other four islands don't have access to veterinary care. And so there's a grouping of islands called the Manua Islands, which includes Ofu, Olasenga, and Tau. And it was kind of Coconut Mutt's first big fundraising campaign. Dr. Kristen said that she wanted to go over, and we offered to help however we could. And so we focused on trying to get resources for her to go over.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing kind of, you know, basic medical veterinary stuff that we take for granted on the mainland, like spay and neuter clinic,
right.
Vaccinations. Right. I mean, you know, when we went over, myself and board member Alana Olier were prepared to have kind of an efficient spay and neuter clinic. But when you go over there, you have people bringing their pets and, you know, a dog is already spayed and it's looking great, but it has a hematoma on its ear. And so Dr. Kristen has to look at that. Or right. Someone says that their neighbor's dog got in a dog fight and their intestines are spilling out. And so it's not just a clinic in those areas. It's an ambulance service and a counseling service and an education service as well.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so they're still over there right now. Yeah, we had some pretty interesting weather.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So,
still are.
Yeah. But they were delayed for a couple days because of the weather. So they were able to go from the island of Ofu and get to Tau today.
Cool. And do you know how many animals they've serviced?
Last I heard, so as of yesterday, it was 30.
Okay.
And she said today that she has at least 25 more animals lined up in Tau. So she's actually extending her stay in Tau, which is awesome because Coconut Mutt's goal was to sponsor 50 animals.
Perfect.
And so I think we're going to go over that, which That's is awesome.
Cool. So how do you balance a full-time, you know, a part-time job with your nonprofit business? Just because I understand you're here for a few weeks and then you go back to Seattle. How do you balance all of this?
Yeah, so I work full-time for the Park Service. And I think that for me, Coconut Mutt's balances work out. I don't consider it a burden in any way because it's something that I feel really passionate about. And I'm also surrounded by people who are equally as passionate. And so it's easy to get, it doesn't feel like it's a time suck in any capacity. And so you just find those moments where you can, you know, write a little paragraph or write an email or edit a picture, whether it's on the bus or before you go to bed or while you're watching TV or, yeah, it feels, I don't know, it's almost relaxing in a way.
Right.
Like, that's the relaxing part of my day.
Something that you love, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And so what are the biggest challenges that Coconut Mutt faces?
Yeah, and so, because I think a lot of folks on the mainland don't actually know, number one, where American Samoa is, or that it exists, that it is an unincorporated territory of the United States. And so the remote location of the islands, I think, is one of the biggest challenges in that getting supplies here, getting mail, getting people here is incredibly challenging. It's not simply like, oh, I'm going to drop something off at the post office and it's going to get there when it says it's going to get there. One of our volunteers sent a package 2 months ago and it didn't make it on the boat or the boat was delayed. And so it, you know, it was a box full of collars and leashes and dog toys and cat toys. And it took 2 months to get here. So just preparing for things like that and trying to figure out how to communicate all those challenges to potential donors and contributors on the mainland, I think, is one of the biggest challenges.
So that's your demographic for fundraising, would you say?
Yeah, so at this time, because, and it started off when I was coming back from American Samoa, and I wanted to bring my animals with me, and there was an overwhelming amount of support from people on the mainland. And so, you know, life is hard here in American Samoa, so it doesn't feel right asking people who are already often struggling themselves to contribute more to their community. So if we can get folks who are passionate about animals and passionate about community welfare to contribute, then that's great.
Awesome, definitely. So, I mean, I love animals as well. So how can people help? Like, where can I go to help Coconut Mutt?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So obviously donations, all money collected goes directly to helping animals in American Samoa. We're a volunteer-run organization. So again, yeah, all funds go to the animals or to the clinic. If folks are interested in volunteering their time, definitely have some volunteer opportunities, probably, you know, whether it's writing a blog or promoting the organization over Facebook or Instagram or other social media outlets. And then also if folks want to actually donate physical items, they can ship them to us on the mainland and we can ship them to American Samoa, or they can ship them directly to American Samoa. So again, little things like just dog toys or cat toys or leashes or collars or old towels, old t-shirts, anything like that.
Definitely doable. Yeah, cool. And so I'm just going to ask you one more question just about Coconut Mutt's, and then I'll ask a little bit about you. What surprised you the most about starting a nonprofit from scratch?
Yeah, so I think what surprised me the most, and it's probably it sounds really cliche, and a lot of people have already learned this lesson before, but it's that the overwhelming amount of support that we've gotten, not only from friends and family, but community members. I think most of us, well, so I started it thinking that I would just do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that people would be interested to be on the board, that people would be interested in interviewing me or donating their time to take pictures or to write content for the website. And once you start seeing people tagging you in photos on Facebook and Instagram and asking you questions about the organization and then donating on top of it, a lot of our donations come from folks who don't make a lot of money, but they feel like it's their responsibility to give back to their community. Awesome. Through animal welfare. And so that to me has just been, again, so it's cliche of me to say, but so incredibly inspiring. Yeah, and unexpected.
That's great. Cool. Thank you so much. And then just for the last bit, I just want to ask a little bit about you so we can understand, you know, Kelsey Johnson. Like, what?
The complex thing that I am.
Not everybody starts nonprofits from scratch. So I just want to know a little bit more about you. When you're not working for the national parks and not working, you know, necessarily in coconut mutts, what do you do for fun?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a good question. I love the outdoors. I'm a total nature nerd. So I love to go hiking.
Not for work.
I mean, if I can hike for work, that's an extra added bonus. I really enjoy photography, which helps out a lot with coconut mutts. Again, right now I live in Seattle, which is where I was born and raised, in a small town outside of Seattle. So I'm fortunate in that I have a lot of friends and family there. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's just nice to hang out with friends and cook or not do anything at all.
Cool. Awesome. And then, so what are you looking forward to for the rest of 2017?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to, like, personally or with respect to coconut mutts or just in general?
In both capacities.
Okay. I think that, so after spending some time here, like coming back to American Samoa and seeing how coconut mutts was received and kind of building connections and strengthening our foundation, I'm excited to go back and see what the next step is after kind of this first fundraising effort with the Manoa Islands. Mm-hmm. It went pretty well. And so, you know, what are our next steps? What can we do to keep the momentum going? I mean, you know, living in Seattle, I think one of the things I look forward to the most is the summer. Uh-huh. When I can finally see the sun again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then being outside and being able to take Matai on walks and, you know, showing him the life that every dog should be able to live.
We like to consider that the puppy lottery when they, you know, coming from here.
Mm-hmm.
The story that it is, just now. Yeah. That he's got his forever home with you.
Well, and you know, with Officer Scruffles, like when you take animals out of that situation, yeah, that they're often so loving in return. For the love that you give them, because they've experienced lives without love. But then also it's so much fun to take Matai out on a walk, and if he sees a stroller for the first time, it like blows his mind. So, you know, things like that are fun. So take him hiking this summer a little bit more.
Nice. And then just the last question, and this is so, you know, controversial, debatable. Are you a cat person or are you a dog person?
That's a really good question. I actually started volunteering at the Humane Society back in Seattle before I came down, and one of the first questions I was asked was if I was a cat or dog person, and I said both. So,
are you truly both, though?
I think I am. Yeah. I think before I had cats, I would have said dogs, right. But I don't know. Cats can be pretty cool.
Yeah, they're so relatable, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Now that you have one.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Kelsey. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me. And thank you to Paolo and Rika for letting us do this interview at your house.
Oh, thank you, Narelle, for all your help with coconut mutts and for even wanting to interview me. And it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to my first podcast. This kind of happened randomly, but if you liked it and potentially want to hear more, please leave a comment and let me know. I'd really appreciate you sharing your thoughts with me. If you're a passionate pet lover and want to find more information about coconut mutts, You can visit their website at coconutmutts.org or connect with them on Facebook and Instagram at coconutmutts. Have a great day!